You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, January 17th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. The Warriors are continuing their five-game roadie tonight in Chicago. Chicago's been playing well. We're going to get into that. We're going to do a statistical deep dive as it is Wednesday. And then we're going to go around the NBA in the third segment. I'm looking forward to talking about the Bulls. They're a team I haven't focused on as much. There's a lot of teams that I'm looking forward to checking in on during the NBA, around the NBA segment. But before we get there, I definitely want to discuss the Warriors and how they're doing. If you checked in on my podcast last night, then you're well aware that I'm not impressed with how the Warriors have been playing, particularly defensively, but they've had some offensive cold stretches as well over the last few games, and it was really their talent that won out. And it's just not going to work that way if they want to make it to the promised land again. But we'll get to that. First, I want to talk to you about my media. You can find me on Forbes.com, where I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. You should definitely check out my work at Forbes and also go to LockedOnWarriors.com, where I will be doing a lot more writing in addition to posting this podcast every day. LockedOnWarriors.com, make sure you bookmark it. Go to Facebook, Locked On Warriors, Locked On NBA Net, and subscribe to those pages. The Locked On NBA podcast is amazing. David Locke does an incredible job, and I've guested on it a number of times, including last week. So if you need your Around the NBA fix, definitely subscribe to Locked On NBA. Additionally, the Locked On Podcast Network has all your favorite teams in the NBA and the NFL. So if you like more than just the Warriors, if you're a 49ers or a Raiders fan, go check out those podcasts as well. All right, the Warriors are in Chicago to face the Bulls tonight. The Bulls are coached by Fred Hoiberg. They're 17-27, which is not horrible. It's not great, but it's not horrible. They have been playing well as of late. Their offensive rating for the season is a 103.9. That's 28th out of 30. And their defensive rating is a 109.6, so their net rating is a minus 6. And that defensive rating is 23rd out of 30. But like I said, they're playing better than their rankings right this second. And if you look at their games over the last month or so, well, they went on that really nice win streak in December where they won 7 games in a row and then another 3-game win streak. And they're right now on a 3-game win streak with wins over the Knicks in 2 overtimes, the Pistons, who are a good team, and the Miami Heat, who were streaking before that point. That was on Monday. They beat the Heat 119-111. Now, I want to look at that game specifically because the Heat are 25-18. They're a good team. And we want to see what the Bulls did exactly to beat them. All right, the Bulls played Justin Holiday, a former Warrior, more minutes than any other rotation player, and he had 25 points in that game. He was a plus 20. That's a good situation for him to be in there with the Bulls. He's getting a lot of minutes with a young team. Zach LaVine started, played 20 minutes. He was a plus 6, but Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen, and Robin Lopez were all plus 20 in the game and all played more than 20 minutes. Lauri Markkanen was plus 21, had 17 points on 6 of 13, 3 of 6 from 3. And this was essentially a wire-to-wire win for the Bulls. There were a few ties, but for the most part, it was the Bulls' shooting that kept them in the game. The Bulls have a lot of shooting, and so the Warriors are going to have to run them off the three-point line. Mirotić was making three-pointers. Justin Holiday made all of his points from three, and also Lauri Markkanen can shoot the three-ball. And they'll chuck them, too. They were 16 of 39 for 41% from three in that game and 48% from the field. So this is a team that has talent. Denzel Valentine, Mirotić, Bobby Portis, Jerry and Grant. These are all good basketball players. And the Warriors are going to have to play. They don't have Andre or Draymond in this game. So that means the Warriors are going to have to do that next man up mentality defensively, especially. Jordan Bell's going to get the start in this one. And so he's going to be running with Markkanen. in a really interesting rookie-on-rookie matchup where Markkanen is the offensive phenom, shooting from three, driving to the basket, making things happen for his teammates, and Jordan Bell is the defensive specialist. He's going to have to stay on his feet and not jump on pump fakes. And this is going to be a new type of test for him. He's never really had to face that inside-out big man. Maybe Jusuf Nurkić might be a close facsimile. Sorry, not Jusuf Nurkić. Nikola Jokic. I get these guys mixed up, the itch kids. Nikola Jokic over in Denver might have been the closest facsimile to Markkanen. Jokic obviously has been in the league for a while. He's a better player than Markkanen, but Markkanen has shown his ability to do basically everything for this team, and he's playing 30 minutes a game as a rookie. He had 9 rebounds, including an offensive rebound, and 3 assists to go along with the steal. So the Warriors are going to need a good game from Jordan Bell. Not an up-and-down game like he played in Cleveland, but a solid defensive effort. Justin Holiday is shooting the lights out. He was 7 of 11 from 3 in the game, and Klay Thompson is going to have to put a body on him, just straight up. He can't be allowed to get off, because that'll get the whole team going. And this team is not playing with fear right now, as I've said of other teams playing against the Warriors, but they don't have anything to lose. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they're playing just extremely well. They're playing within themselves right now. They're playing great for Fred Hoiberg, and the Warriors have this, you know, I like I said in the past, I don't believe in trap games, but if there is a game that the Warriors would shrug off, it would be this one. So hopefully they come into the United Center with their minds right and not looking ahead to that Houston game on Saturday, because looking ahead is a recipe for losing. So back to Draymond and Andre, I just want to update you on those injuries. Draymond is dealing with a right shoulder soreness, and Andre has a left calf contusion. So they're both day-to-day and are going to be rested tonight. All right, for this week's statistical deep dive, I want to look at the Warriors' defense, specifically since Stephen Curry returned to the lineup nearly full-time on December 30th. But first, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. You know what's coming. If your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 34, your company should be sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, send me an email. alikocarter11@gmail.com. Send me an email and I'll make sure you get all the details, including all the information on how reasonable our rates are. Podcasts are on the come up and Locked On Warriors is no different. So let me know if you want to become a sponsor. All right, so the Warriors have played 9 games in the stretch between December 30th and today, January 17th. 3 home games, 6 road games, and they're averaging an offensive rating of 120, which is incredible, but their defensive rating is at 111.0, which is worse than mediocre. And when we're talking about defensive rating, we're not talking about, we're talking about pace adjusted defense, defense per 100 possessions. And 111 points per 100 possessions allowed is a lot. And so that net rating of 9 doesn't mean much if the Warriors are just winning on the backs of their talent, their offensive talent. They need to be better defensively. And specifically, they're not running people off the line. During this stretch, they're allowing opponents to shoot 40% from three, which would be the worst mark in the league if extended over an entire season. They're also allowing opponents to shoot 47% from the field, which is also one of the worst marks in the league if extended over the entire season. So the defense has just fallen completely apart. Steve Kerr has harped on it. The team is just winning based on their offensive talent alone, and rotations are sloppy. And when you're facing teams that are scared of you, that's a recipe for disaster. You look at what happened with Lou Williams going for 50 in the loss against the Clippers, or even more recently with DeMar DeRozan going for 40 and almost winning the game for the Raptors in Toronto. And these didn't used to be problems for the Warriors. Specifically, Lou Williams would have been locked down by someone like Clay or Andre. And those, you know, Andre, as I've said, has looked tired. He needs the rest, I think, personally. It was good for Clay to get a game of rest in earlier this week or last week. But they're going to have to get defensive contributions from up and down the roster. Guys like Sean Livingston and Patrick McCaw have to use their length to stop these guys in Chicago and in Houston from having comfortable shots. And particularly Houston, looking ahead to Houston, they get in a groove when their threes are coming in transition and in set plays, and they're comfortable. And so the Warriors are going to have to do a better job of making shooters uncomfortable, getting in their grills, and just not allowing those open shots that have led to that 40% three-point opponent's field goal percentage over the last 9 games. Over this stretch, the Warriors aren't rebounding the ball extremely well either, allowing an opponent's offensive rebounding percentage of 23.6%, including 28.5% at home. They're actually playing much better on the road than they're playing at home, though it's a smaller home sample size. But at home, their stats across the board are worse. Sometimes with this team, it's like pulling weeds. You know, you have one problem, you pull it out, another one crops up. It was the defense. It's not running people off the line, but the turnovers have been much better. 13.3 turnovers per game over this stretch, along with 7.3 steals and 6.2 blocks. The blocks are going to have to come back up if they're going to continue to lead the league. That's an exciting stat that I really enjoy, them averaging over 8 blocks a game. But their steals are up over that period. And luckily, they're shooting 52.5% from the field and 40.3% from three, along with 82.1% from the line. Those, all three of those, lead the league over this stretch of games. So what you're looking at is far and away the best offensive team in the league that has some serious defensive issues. Even so, the Warriors are still fourth in the league in defensive rating over the course of the season at a 102.9, which is very good, trailing only the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Boston Celtics, who run a 99.7 defensive rating. And the offensive rating still leads the league at 113.6, followed by the Houston Rockets, Toronto Raptors, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Cleveland Cavaliers. The Warriors also lead the league in player impact estimate, which is a new stat. It measures the player's overall statistical contribution against the total statistics in games they play in. So PI, player impact estimates, yields results which are comparable to other advanced stats, e.g. per player efficiency rating, using the following formula: points plus field goals made plus free throws made minus field goals attempted minus free throws attempted plus defensive rebounds plus half for an offensive rebound plus assists plus steals plus half for a block minus player personal fouls minus turnovers, divided by all of the game's stats of that same list of statistics. So I know it's a little complicated, especially when you can't see it like I'm looking at it on the screen right now and reading it to you, but it actually is a good catch-all for general statistics and how impactful a player can be on the team. So the Warriors lead the league in PI. They also lead the league in net rating, assist percentage at 70.2. That's by far the highest assist percentage in the league. 70% of the Warriors' field goals are assisted. They lead in assist ratio, assist to turnover, effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage. So offensively, like I've been saying, the Warriors are just far and away the best team in the league, and it's the defense that really needs to catch up if they're going to continue the chase for a second ring in 2 years. All right, I want to take you around the NBA. There's a ton of just shit happening in the NBA right now, a lot of fights that I want to get into. But first, I want to talk to you about Draft.com because it's amazing. So listen up. Did you know that your chances of winning on Draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why Draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than a million people have already downloaded Draft. Play in a real-life draft right now. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money NBA draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code LOWARRIORS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LOWARRIORS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Warriors podcast listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code LOWARRIORS. So some upsets over the last few days. The Clippers beat the Rockets in the nightcap on MLK Day, but that was not the story. The story was Blake Griffin versus the world and Chris Paul versus referees. Blake Griffin got into altercations and was ejected. So was Trevor Ariza. And these two teams are absolutely, they don't like each other at all. But specifically, it's pretty clear that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin don't like each other. Blake Griffin got into it with Chris Paul. He threw a ball nearly off of Eric Gordon's head. He argued with Mike D'Antoni. Trevor Ariza argued with Austin Rivers and Patrick Beverley, who were on the sideline in a suit. This is all in the fourth quarter, when the game was already decided. The Clippers won this game. Later, the confrontation spilled into the Clippers' locker room, where James Harden, Trevor Ariza, and Gerald Green pushed in to try to confront Austin Rivers, but security escorted the Rockets out before anything turned physical. Apparently, there's some secret, like, passageways in Staples Center that Chris Paul knew about, and he used them to get into the Clippers' locker room as well to try to confront Blake Griffin with other Rockets players. So it's like a back door or something, and he knows all about that stuff, having spent 6 years in Clipperland. The two teams play again on February 28th, and we are looking forward to that matchup because these two teams do not like each other. It's almost like the new Warriors-Clippers matchup. Now that the Warriors are in a class of their own, they don't really have a rival. Maybe you'd call the Cavaliers a rival, but the Rockets and the Clippers are definitely rivals, and the Clippers got a big win to get back into the playoff conversation, while the Rockets are up and down over their last month or so. They went on that five-game losing streak and have lost games to the Warriors in that span, now to the Clippers, and they play the Warriors again in hopefully what will be James Harden's return to the court on Saturday. Yesterday in Orlando, Aaron Aflalo and Nemanja Bjelica were ejected after getting into a fight with 7:58 left in the second quarter. And I mean, this was a knockdown. This was a fight. Aflalo threw, like, punches. And the NBA is getting a little chippy in the dog days. So on a loose ball, Aflalo feels like he gets shoved by Bjelica and then turns around, pushes him, and throws a punch. And then Bjelica grabs him and gets him in a headlock. And it's just on after that. And the referees had to break it up. That was about as fightful as the NBA gets these days. But the Magic got the win, 108-102 over the Wolves, who were fighting for a playoff spot. Jimmy Butler, to his credit, said the Wolves needed to be humbled and they're glad, and he's glad that they lost. Elsewhere around the NBA, Kawhi Leonard is out indefinitely, sadly for the Spurs, with the recurrence of that quad injury. Specifically, it's right quadriceps tendinopathy. I don't really know what that means, but it's a long recovery process, apparently. So what does that mean for the Spurs going forward? Well, they were one of the best teams in the NBA without Kawhi Leonard. Does it mean that they can still go to the finals or the conference finals to face the Warriors? Will they make it past some of these good teams in the West without Kawhi? I don't know. That's a tough question. The Spurs are the best coached team in the league, and they do a lot of things well without Kawhi Leonard, but he's their X factor. I just don't see them pushing past, talent-wise, past some of these other teams without him. But indefinitely means exactly that, and if they can stay afloat through April and Kawhi has a chance to come back before the end of the season, then I'm sure they'll take it. In Boston, Gordon Hayward is doing some light shooting, rehabbing from the fractured left ankle and the knee injury that he suffered on opening night. And that's good news for the Celtics, who could really use him. Unlikely he'll be ready for any stretch of the playoffs, but still a good sign and great for morale for the Celtics. Back to fights, there was another dust-up in Philadelphia on Monday. Ben Simmons got into it with Kyle Lowry. They exchanged words and both were ejected. They continued to talk and gesture at each other after they were tossed. Simmons, for his credit, described the altercation as nothing but said, "I'm not going to take no shit from nobody. I don't know if they're trying to test me or see how I am on the court, but I won't play around." And good for the rookie. You know, we don't know what was said between the two. They got into it several times throughout the game. Simmons bumping into the back of Lowry's legs while picking up the ball to inbound it. And they exchanged fouls in the third quarter. The Sixers won that game 117 to 111. Lowry told reporters, "I don't know. I guess he thinks he's somebody." Wow. So that's a tough loss for the Raptors, who are trying to keep up in that second spot in the Eastern Conference. DeMar DeRozan and TJ McConnell also got into it in the second quarter. So you want to make sure, if you're the Raptors, you want to make sure that you stay composed and that you don't allow chippiness to result in losses, because the chippiness has to work to your favor if you're going to use it effectively. All right, that's my pod for the day. I didn't get to every team I wanted to, but there's definitely more room for around the NBA going forward. There were a lot of fights, had to cover the fights. The fights are just, they're very interesting in these dog days, you know, to see which teams are holding it together and which teams are really kind of falling apart a little bit and which teams don't like each other. It's really fun to see. But tomorrow, hopefully I will have a special guest. I'll keep you posted on that. We're going to recap the Bulls game, and we're going to do an extra long throwback Thursday and maybe a little bit around the NBA. So stay tuned. You can get in contact with me via Twitter at Koji Tare, KOGITARE. You can also follow the Locked On Warriors podcast on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. That's a new feature, so make sure you check out Locked On Dubs on Twitter. All the podcasts will be posted there, as well as all of the writing and just general tweets and interesting things about the Warriors. So follow Locked On Dubs on Twitter. You can check out Locked On Warriors on Facebook at Locked On Warriors and Locked On NBA Net. Make sure you check out the main podcast as well. You can get in contact with me via email at alicocarter11@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.